Welcome to Chasing Encounters, a podcast about stories, languages, cultures, and identities. We highlight diversity and intersectionality in contemporary society through respectful and thought-provoking conversations.
Hello, everybody. This is Chasing Encounters podcast. My name is Yacid Ortega. This is episode number 4 of the season number 5. Imagine we have almost 2 years, or if not 2 years, of this podcast, and we have arrived to this point in which we are experienced. We have brought different people to the podcast, and here we are today with one person that I admired a lot, is Professor Sarfaros Niyosov. Thank you so much for accepting my invitation today.
Thank you so much, Yacid. It's a pleasure to be on your podcast.
Yeah, no, thank you. And one of the reasons why I decided to invite Professor Sarfaros today is because obviously I admire his work. I have read his work, and I had the pleasure of being in one of his classes on religious education. And we hope to talk about his work on this specific topic, because I know he has worked on many other different topics, and we may not have time to talk about all the other things. But to get us started on the topic, as many of our audience listeners, they know, this is a podcast about languages, literacies, cultures, and identities. And then my first question for you, the professor, is, we want our audience to know a little bit more about you, who you are, what your cultural background, your linguistic backgrounds, how many languages you speak, etc., etc. So we want to know who you really are. So let us know.
Thank you so much, Yacid. So it's as I said, it's a great pleasure to be on your podcast. And this is an important topic and also admire the work that you do there. So regarding myself, who I am, I think this is a very important thing. The first thing is that my name is Sarfaros Niyosov. Now, Sarfaros is a Persian word. Niyoz is also a Persian word.
Nice.
However, I have this ending OV, which is a Russianized ending to my name. So I come from Tajikistan. The name Sarfaros means proud, someone with high up head. So it's quite a name, right? And I come from former Soviet Union, from a country called Tajikistan. I grew up in a small village. My family was large. Altogether, I have 11 siblings. A couple of them have deceased now, but that's how big it was, my family, and it continues to be. So I grew up in the Soviet Union, and my mother tongue is actually a small language of a mountain community called Rushani language, from the district of Rushan. And then as I grew up, I had to learn many other languages in order to survive and in order to grow and in order to get up on the ladder, if we could call it that way. So
yeah.
Rushani, his mother tongue, then Shognani is the next neighboring, very important language, very close one. Then Tajik, which is a national language of Tajikistan. I started learning at the age of 7. I conceded it's also as mother tongue. Then the next language that I learned is Russian. Started learning it when I was 8 years old. And then at the age of 11, I started learning English. And then I joined university, the Department of Arabic Language and Literature. So I started learning Arabic. And by the age of 23, 4, I was speaking 5 languages, perhaps 4 or 5 languages already. And then what I did further on is continue to improving these languages to the level that I could perhaps speak equally fluently and comfortably all these languages, Arabic, Russian, Tajik, Persian, my mother tongue, and so on. But more recently, I was also in Pakistan for a few years, which helped me to improve my Urdu. So I also have working knowledge of Urdu language, which then helps me also understand some of the Hindi kind of talk. But this is basically my linguistic milieu, ecology, and I appreciate this. This is the other important thing about my upbringing is, and as we speak about positionality now, is that language is one window to these multiple cultures that I have grown up with. But I also grew up in a Soviet Union, which was highly secular, to a certain extent, officially even atheistic country. Although the reality of Soviet life, particularly in rural mountainous Tajikistan, was not necessarily atheist or terribly secular. But the important thing is that right from childhood, I got exposure to multiple epistemologies and frameworks of thinking. So this secular, semi-atheistic Soviet communist ideology is one, with its high emphasis on science and Marxism, Leninism. And then I had Islamic culture in the community of a particular kind. And then as I grew up, I also got to know about different other religious cultures, different other cultural frameworks, and also different other secular frameworks, such as, for example, let's say Soviet Union was one experience, but now I have been living for quite a long time in so-called capitalist democratic societies. And all these have helped me to cross borders in the metaphoric sense. By crossing the borders, mean crossing different linguistic, cultural, religious, epistemological paradigms and worldviews. And to, on the one hand, to kind of gets mesmerized and appreciate the diversity. On the other hand, to see the tensions and challenges that has affected me, that actually asked me and made me to develop my own particular philosophy of life and way of engaging with realities, but also my teaching and my selection of the courses and research. Oh,
definitely. I really like these multifaceted cultural and linguistic experiences that you have. And then sometimes we don't necessarily value all this background that we have and we bring to our lives. But before moving on to the core topic, something that I'm curious and you may want to expand a little bit is, yes, you're bringing all this background, all this cultural linguistic background. My curious question is, when you decided to come to Canada or North America, was there any specific reason that you moved to this country or not?
Thank you so much. Well, So my decision to come to Canada was almost like purely educational. Just before even telling about coming to Canada, so I lived in Soviet Union, quite comfortable life. I was student of an elite department, regardless of the fact that I come from a very poor background and remote, rural, margin, minority community. I was one of the top students in an elite department called Oriental Studies, which allowed me and colleagues of mine to actually travel despite the closeness of Soviet Union. To get out of Soviet Union was a very difficult job for security, ideological, and many other reasons. It was like a closed country, and we talk a lot about Iron Curtain and so on. But the Department of Oriental Languages, because we were learning Arabic, Persian, Urdu, Turkish, and so on, and Hindi, and et cetera, we were allowed to go and work with the Soviet specialists working in the developing countries, and in my case, it's Arabic countries, to first of all, of course, provide an alternative development paradigm, socialist, Soviet alternative development paradigm that many Arab and Muslim and developing countries actually admired and wanted to go through. But it also was part of Soviet, of course, propaganda to put his own way forward. For me, the ideology on one side, I was quite young, the pragmatic experience of going there and learning, showing the best of who I am, as well as getting to know. So I spent years, many years in Syria, in Yemen, and in Tunisia, altogether 6 years. And then prior to coming to Canada, I was in Pakistan doing my master's degree in education at the Aga Khan University. And the program at that university was designed by OIZ, by our university or our institute, and by Oxford. So professors from these two universities and others, including from Alberta and so on, came to Karachi to the Aga Khan University to offer a cutting-edge program on teacher education or general education. And I was one of the first graduates of that program. That was a huge transformation for me because I moved from Soviet education landscape and framework to Western one, and everything like, what is a master's degree? How is it different from the graduate degree that we studied in Soviet Union? It was like in itself a big shock, but nevertheless, so I did my master's degree at the Aga Khan University, and I was quite successful. They hired me as an instructor there, and within 2 years, I won a scholarship from the Aga Khan Foundation to study abroad, and I chose Canada. So it was an educational kind of a motivation. I ended up with my family in Canada, and now it is 21 years, yes, that I have been living and working and studying and teaching in Canada. But I also spent a few years in the United Kingdom. So that's how I came to Canada.
Wow, very interesting story. I really like your experience. My God, I never thought about this vast experience that you have, both in terms of languages, cultures, but also cultural frameworks that you use. And then you have been through this so many years, and you're bringing all of these knowledges to your classes. And now going into a little bit of the topic for today, yes, you bring this, you were saying your experience with different religious background of different cultural backgrounds. And you're teaching here at the University of Toronto, OIC, one course that is called religious education. So we're going to get started a little bit about, can you tell us what is this class about? What is generally looking at this? And I know you're bringing all of this background into this class because I was in the class with you. So maybe tell us to our audience, what is this class about?
Thank
briefly.
You so much. So I think you see the rationale for teaching that particular course, and it is connected with my other courses, as you know, but the more closely it is connected with a new course that I'm teaching, which is also called Education Research and Knowledge Production in the Global South. But let me come back to this religious education course. So it's called Religious Education, Comparative and International Perspectives. So the reason or the rationale for starting that course were multiple. One of them was that I did a Shirk-funded research on the teachers work with Muslim students in public schools in Canada, although I also did research in private schools. And then also, as I said, that my own particular personal experiences of crossing the borders and boundaries and observing and reading and seeing what is going on around the world made me realize that there is something like this needs to be taught. So when I started exploring whether there are religious education courses, apart from the departments of religion, this whole religious education or religion is not seen as something that many professors would like to even talk about and engage with, let alone teaching. Yet the reality that I saw is, particularly after the collapse of Soviet Union and Marxist-Leninist ideology, and also as a result of what we see, many of these challenges and malaises of of a modern and secular perspective, such as nationalism, capitalism, and neoliberalism or liberalism or whatever you call them, the secular perspectives, the attention to religious education and offering this particular course was grounded on multiple rationale. One of them, as I said, that my own experience of living in a tension between secular, semi-atheist, and religious cultural frameworks. And then seeing the collapse of the atheist secular perspective in the Soviet Union and the high resurgence of religious discourse, particularly, and in my case, in Central Asia, it's Islamic. So that was one of the things that brought my attention to this to importance. Living in Pakistan, I saw that the culture was absolutely religious, despite the fact that there was a lot of secular, Western, modern schooling going on with its perspectives, but the thinking and the milieu was very religious and conservative Islamic religious framework. Then I came to the West and I saw that despite the dominance of secular perspectives in the academia, in the larger context, there was a lot of religiosity in Canada and in US and so on. And the immigrant communities that have come here from different parts of the world were by and large religious. They have grown up in those contexts, whether it is Hindu, whether it is Buddhist, whether it is Islamic, whether it is Catholic, but there was a lot of religious dimension to people's experience. And as I said earlier, that given also the fact that many of these modern secular perspectives, such as nationalism, democracy, liberalism, capitalism, socialism, have stumbled in offering the solutions to human happiness and prosperity, religious discourses have almost like resurged and revived. And yet, in the public schools, particularly, and not just publics, but there were mushrooming of private religious schools. There were lots of public, lots of religious students in public schools, including teachers. Yet, and at university level, we have many students who actually come from those religious cultural background. And yet there was very little attention to engaging religion, to talking about religion. And in academia, many professors or many faculty actually try to avoid even this religious, the notion of religiosity and religion. They either use spirituality or values or something like this, or culture, but robust, direct engagement with the concept of religion and religions. It was very rare, apart from departments of religious studies. Within OSCE itself, there was very limited course, and actually very few courses that indirectly talked about religion. And I therefore, also as I spoke about my short grant, which was on teachers' perspectives with the Muslim students and public and private schools, which actually brought me to the realization that we need to engage with religion, religious dimension, and of students' experiences in public schools, private schools, and in community education. So all these brought me to design this course. I designed this course in 2011 or 12, I don't remember now. And I started teaching it. In 2013, 14, I taught it, and then there was a break when I left OSCE, and now I am back, and I've taught this course 5 times now. So, but the rationale is, as I said, there is a global rationale, there is a cultural, geopolitical, but also pedagogic and identity issues. And the necessity of engaging it is important not only from the fact that there is resurgence and availability and presence of religiosity, but from the fact that we are living now in a globalized world where people of different religious cultural, ideological perspectives are meeting and talking and interacting and listening and hearing each other. Previously, let's say hundreds or 200 years ago, even earlier, they would not even talk to each other. There were lots of tensions. There were lots of fightings on religious grounding. And now pluralistic democratic societies, and not only on this, any society in the world, people have to listen to each other. If they earlier called each other as infidels or blasphemers, today they just need to listen. And therefore, how do we listen? How do we engage? How do we learn from each other? What are the positive things that religions can offer? What are the key issues with religions that we need to engage critically? Are the reasons why I designed this course. Now, of course, then as I designed this course, I had to design my own philosophical and pedagogical engagement with it. So the first thing was, I'm not a theologian. I don't have a background, big background in religious studies, although I did my first degree in Arabic studies and I did lots of study of Islam. But then I opened it up. So key criteria for coming to these courses is that you don't need to be theologian, you don't need to be religious, and you don't need to be to know about religions so deeply. Anyone can come to this class as long as you have an open mind, self-critical, self-reflexive. And you remember that criteria I mentioned. So either you are atheist, secular, agnostic, religious, fundamentalist, whatever you are, as long as you have this open mind, you are welcome to the class. The second thing, you don't have to be a priest or a mullah or an imam or a rabbi or so on. Well, that's good if you are one, because it helps us to learn deeper from you. But if you are not, that doesn't matter, because what matters to us is the experiential understanding of the students of religion. So we validate this. For example, in religious discourses, people are told that you can't talk about religion because you don't have this particular type of grounding and so on. For us, it doesn't matter. Whatever you know, whatever construction you have of religion, interpretation and experience, we engage with that. So that's the second thing. The third thing is what I call critical and constructive approach. So we're very sensitive. We know that religion is a controversial, contested topic. So we are very sensitive to not hurting religious feelings and understanding feelings, more feelings and identity questions of our participants in the class. And therefore, our questions are and our engagement is highly respectful of and sensitive and careful. But at the same time, we also know that religions are, as I said, controversial, contested, and there have been lots of ill feelings. There's been history of lots of negativities connected to religions, starting from religious wars into bigotry, into all sorts of things that religions have been used and abused and misused for. And regretfully or not, religions have in their texts and in their histories and traditions allowed for this. So therefore, we do not put religion on pedestal in this course. We do not sanctify it. We engage with it critically and constructively to see the ethics, the history, the implications, and also to see the possibilities for how could it be used for improving, for a better, more pluralistic society, more dialogical communication among the people, and so on. So the critical constructivist is the other one. Third one is that we engage with all religions that we can. So for example, the Canadian textbooks on religion for grade 11 has 8 major religions. But we look at not only those, but also what our students bring in, and therefore tailor the course to the to the students' needs. As such, we have readings on all religions. We ask our students to explore them. We do not ask our students to, of course, be representative for their religions, but we do always ask them about their experiences and views and so on. So plurality, critical constructivist, open mind, and many other kind of things that, and responding to the students' needs, connecting with these global realities are some of the key features of this particular course. And of course, we engage with theology. We do not shy away from theological questions with this humble notion that this is how far we know so far. So the course itself then serves for learning theology, pedagogy, curriculum, and so on. We take it also, as I said, from theological, philosophical, to policy discussion on religion, to curriculum development in religions, to pedagogies, to assessment, and to teaching online. So the whole spectrum of education, comparatively, globally, is part of this course. So it's quite rich course, and you have taken it. You know what a passionate course this is.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you so much. I think this is very important what you have said today, and I must agree with you that the course or a course on religious education definitely. I don't think it's siloed, you know, isolated or disconnected from other topics or themes in reality. And I was glad to hear that you said that this is a course that is also in connection with other courses that you teach. And I was glad to hear that because you also, you know, have talked about immigrants and refugees and talking about doing research in the Global South now. I think those things are very important to connect. And I also think one of the highlights of this religious education course is about the idea of being critical, the idea of being constructive, the idea of not being judgmental. And I think that's very important for a course, right? Like it's very important to other people to listen to each other, because that's, I agree with you. One of the things that have happened throughout life is that we have failed to listen to the others because we are coming from our own paradigms, from our own upbringing. I was born and raised as Catholic, but later after I was a teenager, I moved away from that and I became atheist and very judgmental. And up to this point, I don't see things with those lenses. I agree with you with an open-minded, being critical, but also being constructive. So it got me thinking, because you have so much experience teaching this course and also teaching through the lenses of criticality as well. In your course about religious education, have you experienced any struggles, difficulties, challenges or pushback from other colleagues or even from students?
Thank you so much. Well, you see, what you said just now is absolutely phenomenal. And this is an experience of many people, including, and I was almost like the other reverse. Like I grew up in an atheist country, and yet I have become, you know, there is a professor called Julia Andreotti, and she talks about spaces of dissensus that we should offer in our pedagogies, places where we don't look for consensus and we don't look for Hegelian approach of resolving contradictions. We enable our students actually to increase the dissensus, the disagreements, and also be able to have these different conflicting perspectives in their minds and bodies and live with them. So this is very interesting, because one of the important things about religious education and religious discourses is that they are now claiming to be part of what is called decolonization and anti-Eurocentrist perspectives. So when we look for indigenous, decolonized, anti-Eurocentrist or anti-scientist perspectives in other parts of the world, we land in a religious discourse. In India, Hinduism, Buddhism, Jainism, Sikhism, even Islam. In Pakistan, of course, Islam fully. In other parts of the world also, different religious perspectives claim to be doing indigenous and decolonization. So that's one important thing. The other important thing is that despite these, all over the world, engaging critically, constructively with religion is not encouraged. And indeed, teachers are also afraid because they don't know how to handle controversial, contested topics that deal with values. They're not allowed, they're not supported, they're not encouraged, and they're punished. In some parts, religious education is completely thrown out of countries. In other parts, it's only still, regretfully, one religious perspective that is promoted as the final truth, as the last one, and therefore everyone else is put to the margin. So these are the realities that we deal with. Now, have there been resistances? Have there been reactions? Of course, there have been, because this course is almost like walking on an edge of a sword. You have to be very sensitive, and at the same time, you want to not waste time. You want to make a breakthrough. So let's say one of the important things is that there is always this threat that if you, let's say, criticize particular religious perspectives, you may end up being called a particular name. And let me say more directly. Let's say that if you criticize Islam, you may end up being called as Islamophobe. And if you criticize Judaism, you may end up being called as anti-Semitic. And if you criticize, let's say, other religions, you could be called as something else. And in many of these countries, in the very religious context, if you are called Gnostics or atheists, you can end up in trouble. So you have this really difficult path to go through. And therefore, sensitivity, open-mindedness, being careful, and being ready to apologize if you hurt someone, and if someone in your class said something that has hurt someone else. And I've had students who have left my class for a couple of minutes for one class because they felt that it was too much of criticality. It was too robust. It was too direct. And questions were raised. And yet they came back. And they did actually appreciate that ultimately this sensitive, critical, constructive pedagogy with the religious discourses was very helpful. And I have actually had colleagues who taught similar courses, and they also told me. I have a colleague who told me that he had a Christian fundamentalist in his class who told him that after his course, he said, "You know, professor, from the way I took your class, definitely you're going to go to hell." But the student at the same time said, "However, I must say that I really admire it because I learned so much about my religion and other religions." So yes, it is. There is some, but generally the course has been appreciated, not just that, by my colleagues, but everybody around the course. You saw it's full all the time with students, and I admire the students know so much about religions. I've learned so much from them. I had mullah in my class. I had rabbi in my class. I had quite strong theologians in the class from whom I learned tremendously. For example, one of the key discussions I had with a student from Jewish background who was also some kind of a priest or rabbi of I don't know what level, but him and I had debate throughout 12 weeks on whether constructivism was possible in religious discourse or not. And I learned from him more than he perhaps from me. So it is a course that everybody learns. It is a course that is prone to all these kind of sensitivities and controversies. But there is no other way. We have to engage it. And we do not put on pedestal any perspectives, religious or secular.
Definitely. I was in your class and I could attest that the class itself is very controversial. Sometimes there have been heated arguments, but me, myself, took this, as you mentioned before, with an open mind. And I opened my heart to learning about others. And that's one of my personal takeaways of this class, that I'm not anymore this judgmental person about X, Y, Z religion or cultural background, but more like trying to understand and put myself in others' shoes. And that was one of the things that I really liked about the class. Now, my question to you, that you have been teaching this class for so long and some different times, what would be one takeaway, one aha moment in your class that you were like, oh my God, this is something that I didn't expect it, and this was such a great moment. What would be one thing that you have learned from your class?
Well, thank you so much. Yassir, I appreciate your positive view of the course that you took with us. And indeed, if you remember, just before I respond to your question, if you remember, we taught the course online, and we had 3-hour webinar every week. But yeah, in addition, we had lots of discussions on the Quercus, particularly in the summaries and reflections and responses. And there were hot debates about every topic. And indeed, as you say, students learned a lot. So there are many things that I could say, I could say about this course. But the most important thing was that the students' openness and readiness, even though very religious students and non-religious, their openness to really appreciate this diversity and this understanding. And the other most important thing is that the students started realizing that if they don't engage with their own values and beliefs and practices, they don't have moral right to question any other things, including the very negative things that they see in the society. So the necessity to challenge their own values, including religious and histories and identities and practices of their own, of their community, of their discourse and of their history. And if I'm not able to be self-critical about my bias and my questions and my engagement, I cannot be a good researcher. So I would say that these couple of these elements, and the third thing, of course, is that ability, human ability, and our ability to reconstruct religious discourses towards positive and progressive ends. And we know that it is difficult to speak this, but we ultimately come to know that religions and religious discourses are social constructions. And therefore, they could be channeled and reconstructed to serve positive purposes, such as gender empowerment rather than gender disempowerment, such as opening to LGBT, such as talking to the others and seeing them as equally valid, and so on. I think these are very important, critical things that every student, including myself, have appreciated, that we need to engage with ourselves. That's the thing. Yes.
Definitely. One of the things that got me thinking, and this is going to be probably my last question on the topic. Why do you think it's important or not to teach religious education in today's schools, private or public schools? Is it important or not to teach religious education in the
schools? Well, look, this is actually a question that we deal in the last week, if you remember, of the course. And as I said earlier, that in many parts of the world, religion is still out of school. Religious education is out of school. Engagement with religiosity is out of school. In other parts of the world, religion is in school. Religious education is in school, but it is dogmatic and it is parochial and it is not critical and constructive. So the suggestion that we make during the course, and it's comes also from the scholarship, is yes, religious education or religions and religiosity and spirituality and indigenous perspectives, which are quite many of them are religious, needs to be part of our curriculum and pedagogy and schooling. However, what approach we take to them to make sure that our students are becoming not fossilized into the dogmatic views about who they are, but to become open-minded, to become dialogical, to become pluralist, to appreciate that we are living in this world of diversity, world of uncertainty, world of unpredictability. And therefore, how could we build and reconstruct those elements and markers of our identity towards a more just, more inclusive, more diverse and society, and not just for humans, but also for other beings and creatures and environment around us. So that is what I say. Yes, it should be, and it should be engaged critically, pluralistically, and constructively.
Wow, I am glad for what you just mentioned. I think that definitely summarizes the whole idea and the whole core of what religious education, quote unquote, should be taught in today's schools. Now, to finish up today our conversation, I wonder if you want our audience to know something. Is there something in the back of your mind that you really want to bring up to today's topic so our audience knows a little bit more in depth? What are your suggestions, any comments, any piece of advice that you want to send a message to our listeners today before we wrap up?
Well, look, thank you so much, Yassir. I want, first of all, to tell everybody that this podcast that you are doing are fantastic. They're very informal, very open and passionate. I've seen them, and I therefore invite others to look at your other podcasts. The second thing I also want to say that the important thing about education is that we need to start with ourselves. Engage our views, our perspectives, our criticality, and then go from there and take a look at the structural forces, take a look at cultural forces, and do not take anything for granted. Engage them critically and deeply, and question more. Questioning is what I love, and questioning in a sensitive, constructive, and relentless way is what makes us independent, what makes us, I would say, distinct, and what gives us capacity to innovate and build and create and reach to others.
You have hit the nail on the head on the idea of my philosophy of life, which is critical pedagogy, and it is the idea of we need to start with ourselves. We cannot do social justice work or any other type of work without looking ourselves, who we are, what we intend to do in the future or in our classes, in our work. And most importantly, question everything. That it's a great piece of advice. And we're going to end it up right now because this is a great idea for our audience. Question everything. Have a critical eye to everything that is being taught to you or you're going to be teaching. And I just want to say to Zafiros today, thank you so much for coming today to our episode.
Thank you. And thank you for having me.
This is Yassir Ortega. This is Chasing Encounters. Have a good rest of the week, everybody.